It is time for Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are always so glad to be right here with you. I love being behind this microphone here in the control room and bringing the Word of God to you week after week. And with me today is my amazing, wonderful assistant, associate pastor, co-pastor, I don't know what you want to call him, but he's right there by my side all the time. Pastor Jim Ellsbury, hey. How are you, buddy?
Doing good, praise God.
Whoa, I tell you, we've been having church out here in the lobby with our dear sister McKay. Yeah. And those boring people that were on here right before us, right?
Right.
I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course.
Totally in jest.
Totally in jest, because they were so fired up and full of God. Truth talk. Amazing. So we just love being on the air right behind them, because they just fire us up when we get here.
Yes, they do. They get us ready to go.
Oh, they do. What a joy. What a joy to be in the house right here in the studio, having been in the house of the Lord all morning. We are pumped and ready to go with a great show. We've been studying the book of Acts, and I don't know about you, Pastor Jim. And by the way, if I call him PJ, it's because that's what we call him a lot, PJ. I don't know about you, but I am loving this series on the book of Acts. Yeah. Signs and Wonders is the name of it.
It's been really, really good. And it's funny. I don't know if you've explained this on the radio before, but when we started talking about this, it's funny because the Lord put it on both of us.
Yes.
To be reading the book of Acts.
The book of Acts lately.
And
yeah.
So we were both reading the book of Acts.
Right.
And that's when God said, you know, now we're going to study it.
We're going to study it.
Amazing how he got us ready for that.
But he really did. And so I think both of us are really pumped up, more so than we normally are, I guess, in a way. Although we love every series that God places upon our hearts to teach. But this book of Acts, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which we talked about last Sunday in detail. And if you missed the show, you need to go to tantalknetwork.com, because it's not up on our website yet. It will be in a couple weeks. But www.tantalknetwork.com, and go to the podcast tab and go down to the name of this show, which is Living the Good Life, and it'll open up, you know, hit on that internet button and it'll open up for you. And you can listen to that. And even if you did hear it last week, you may want to listen to it again. Mm-hmm. Because of the importance of the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And our word for last week was experiencing.
And we did.
It just happened this way that God began to show me as we started the series that there would be an ING word for every week. The first week was thirsting. The second and third week were waiting, because that was so much to cover on waiting. So if you missed any of those shows, they're right here on TanTalkNetwork.com, podcast, Living the Good Life. And then last week was experiencing. So talk about that, Pastor Jim, will you?
Well, we talked about experiencing the Holy Spirit, and specifically the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and why that's important, what, you know, we looked at briefly what, you know, in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 8, what happened and how it's distinct from getting saved. You get the Holy Spirit when you get saved, but you fully receive the Holy Spirit and fully walk in the Holy Spirit when you enable that when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
Because that word itself means to be immersed, to be waterlogged.
Right.
In the Greek, it means like it speaks about ships being sunk and waterlogged underneath the ocean.
Right. And so when you are full of the Spirit of the living God, major changes happen in your life. You look around and you're not the same person you used to be. And we talked this morning at Beacon of Hope about how the Holy Spirit starts a process of really purifying us and showing us those things, those areas in our lives that we need to get rid of, those areas that we need to confess a sin, resentments that we need to let go of, unforgiveness, perhaps, bitterness, whatever it is, envy, jealousy, whatever it is. Holy Spirit begins to convict like never before when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was my experience.
Well, and mine too. And I will say this, it's an ongoing process.
It is.
40 years later, it's an ongoing process.
It's still happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, you saw it happen in me this morning.
I did.
And it's been 40 years since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So
he started to say something as he and I were having a prayer meeting.
44 years. So.
And all of a sudden he goes, ooh, God just showed me. That's a bad attitude. Yeah.
Yeah.
We won't go into it. But still. But we do. We're all changing still.
Right. And with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was trying to think back 44 years. One of the biggest things for me was, like, I wasn't hungry enough for the word before that. I got really hungry for the word. But it became much more real to me after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The word became more alive. It became more personal, I guess, is what I want to say.
It did, yeah.
I was able to apply it more to my life. How does this affect me?
Right.
And that was a big difference. I mean,
huge.
It was one thing to have it in my head, which I did, but it was another thing to get it down in my heart.
Right.
You know, in my spirit. And that was, for me, that was one big thing the Holy Spirit did.
Oh, absolutely.
And that, of course, is when all the stuff started rising to the surface that God needed to
right.
skim out of my life.
Woo! Let's pray. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we bless you today. We praise you from the bottom of our hearts. And we sincerely thank you for this opportunity today, again, to be on the air with our listeners scattered around the globe. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to be good stewards of this time. And we're going to bring your word front and center to the lives that listen now or in the future.
Yes.
You get the glory. You get the praise, mighty God. You are welcome in this place. And we love you. We love you. We love you. Let this show be a blessing to so many. Rodney Howard Brown.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome.
Amen and amen.
In this place, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. No.
Yes, you are, Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Love that old song. Praise God. Ooh. It's got some worship on the end of that song. Mm-hmm. I love that. All right. Okay, so we've been studying the book of Acts, and we talked last week about Acts chapter 1, how Jesus, right before he was lifted into heaven, the last thing he said is, I want you to wait because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to be able to be my witnesses. Because before that point in Acts chapter 1, about 40 days after he rose from the dead, Jesus had been walking around for like all those days, and he was appearing to a lot of people, some places, 500 people at one time, right?
Right.
Saw the risen Lord with the nail prints in his hands, his side. He was bearing witness. He was testifying to the power of Almighty God, the Father, who had raised him from the dead, right? That's what testifying's all about, telling you how it is, like it happened. You want to comment on that? Because I think that's cool.
Well, I really like what you said this morning, the dictionary.
Yeah, let me read definition. Those.
Yes.
Okay,
please.
Let me read those.
I was going to ask you to.
I will do that right now. I looked it up. Testifying means this: to give evidence, to bear witness, to attest, to confirm, to prove, to corroborate, to substantiate. Now, I'm going to go over those one more time. Some of you were writing them down. This is what testify means. A lot of us grew up in churches where people get up and testify, and they give like a testimony of what God had done, right? Here it is. To testify means, this is according to the dictionary, give evidence, bear witness, attest, confirm, prove, corroborate, or substantiate. In other words, to talk about something that has happened. That is to testify about it. And I grew up, as my dad was a pastor, and then we were missionaries in Central America. I remember people standing up, even in our church in Chiquimula, Guatemala, and so many older believers in that congregation would stand up and they'd wave their white hanky. And I've seen this over and over again through the years. And it's like, I'm about to testify, you know, and they would start to give a report of something that God had done. Bearing witness to what they had seen, a miracle, or they lay hands on someone. Something that's what testifying is all about, talking about what happened.
Right. And we're called to testify.
Yeah.
Because we're told to, well, all through the Psalms, you know, tell of his wonders, tell of his mighty deeds.
Sing of his praises.
Sing his praise.
Right.
We're commanded to testify. We're commanded to tell what God has done for us.
Yes, right.
And that's such an important thing. I think of, the man that was delivered when Jesus was on earth before his death and resurrection, the Gadarene demoniac.
Right, yeah.
Let me come with you.
Yeah, let me tell.
And Jesus said, no, go and tell your family.
Go tell.
And your friends, what God has done for you.
Yes, go tell.
And he did. And the leper, who Jesus specifically told to not say anything, went out and told the whole neighborhood.
Right.
You know, that whole area, that what God had done.
Well, and the disciples, he sent them out two by two, and then he sent out a whole group of them.
He sent out the 12, then he sent out 70.
And he said, go and talk about it, you know, teach it, talk about it. And I think so often, Pastor Jim, our culture is that, we don't want to say anything that might upset somebody. So we stay away from politics, and rightly so on the politics thing. But on our experience with God, that's a totally different thing.
Exactly. We have become wishy-washy,
yes.
I guess.
Yes. Afraid.
Because
timid.
And again, that thing that we don't want to offend somebody, well, if you don't say it offensively, you're probably not going to offend them.
Right.
And if my testimony about how God healed me is offensive to someone, that's their issue, not
exactly.
mine.
Exactly.
And because I am called to tell what God has done for Woo. Me. And, you know, we don't want to be obnoxious about it. We've, heaven knows, we both went to the same college. We
right.
remember, I remember my freshman year, there were some street preachers out
right.
there. And all they, I mean,
yeah.
that was, while what they were saying was good, how they said it.
Yeah.
muddled the message. And
well, everybody made fun of them. Even when I was there 7 years before you were there, Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. But I tell you, the same thing was going on then.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
And which is a shame because then nobody listens. And, you know, I know we talked about Peter. Well, okay, something great happened just before his sermon, obviously.
Right.
And that got everybody's attention. And then Peter said what he had to say. But he didn't, he said it in such a way that he got their attention, kept their attention, and allowed the Holy Spirit to work, and they had this mass conversion that day.
Absolutely, and we're going to talk about that today on this whole show about testifying. And so often we are timid. We don't want to, I'm going back to the definition, give evidence. We don't want to say, oh, man, you wouldn't believe what God did. You know, we are so timid to share that so often because we feel like it won't be received or we will be made fun of. Because actually, people are rather timid when it comes to the things of God, in my opinion, Pastor Jim. Growing up as in the ministry with my parents and family, I've seen such timidity and rarely have I seen courage when it comes to speaking out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree, especially, ooh, I'm going to step on toes here, but especially in America. If, you know, we read the news. There's, you know, if you're a Christian in Iran or China, you can die for your faith over there. And yet, you know, we're so afraid to speak out.
Right.
And I'll say this, speak out the true gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Speak out what God has done for me. Mostly it's, we speak out, but it's against this or against this person
right.
or against
yes.
this thing. Let's stop speaking against stuff.
Yes.
And start talking about what God has done. Peter, in his sermon,
right.
just laid down, these are the facts. This is what happened.
But look at that definition of to testify. It doesn't say to speak against.
Right. It says to tell about.
To give evidence. To bear witness, to attest, to confirm, to prove, to corroborate, to substantiate. Yet the pulpits are full across this nation and probably other countries too with people who are simply preaching against whatever.
Something. Right.
Something.
And that is not what God wants. I really feel that. What God wants is for you to stand up and say, you know what? Praise God. Jesus saved me. Almost 45 years ago, I got saved.
Yes.
Almost 44 years ago,
yes.
I got baptized
yes.
in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In that following time, I've been through a lot of trials, but God is faithful.
God
he
is faithful.
Never let go.
That's testifying.
Amen.
Okay.
That's what people want to
yes.
hear. They don't want to hear, well, this person's bad, or this thing is bad, or this thing is wrong. Or we hate these people.
Or this people group is bad,
yeah,
or whatever.
This people group is bad. What? Let's give them something positive.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not, you know, in case somebody said, "Well, you're just talking like giving, you know, just giving out good stuff." Yeah, I am, because I'm talking about testifying about
That's
what
right.
God has done
yes.
for me. Yes, He saved me. He saved mm-hmm. me from my sins.
Yes. Yes. Well, Lamentations 3:20-23 is coming up in my spirit right now. Not intending to go there, but here we go. I'm just going to recite it from my heart. This I recall to my mind. Okay? All right? This I recall to my mind. The Lord's loving kindness and tender mercies never fail. What? That's a testimony to God's nature. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Right? We all know the old song, morning by morning, new mercies I see. We don't sing, morning by morning, I'm in trouble more than I was yesterday. Right? We are testifying to the nature of Almighty God, and that's what Peter does in Acts chapter 2.
Right.
He testifies, he attests. I'm going to preach here. That sounds like something you would say. I'm going to confirm right here that this is the nature of our God. At Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows all those who put their trust in him. That's testifying about the nature of God.
Amen.
The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble.
And if we Woo! Proclaim the gospel, I mean, look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. For I proclaim to you of as first importance,
yes.
Christ died for us according
yes.
to the scriptures. He rose again on the third day
Woo!
According
yes.
to the
yes,
scriptures.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's what we testify
That's
about.
That's testifying.
And how that... Jesus' death, resurrection, ascension, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit affects us today.
How it affects us today. And too many people are stuck back in their initial salvation experience, and they want to stay there, that 30-fold realm. And they don't want to move on to that 60-fold, 100-fold realm where we learn more about the nature of God and what all he has for us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit can simply be said as, God, fill me up with you. I want all you have for me. Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. Come, Lord, and inundate me with your Spirit. I want to be so full of God that when people bump into me, they realize they've bumped into God Almighty.
In one of the devotionals, sorry to interrupt, but in one
Go
of the
ahead.
Devotionals that I use, it talks about the presence of God and kind of maintaining the presence and being aware of God's presence
yes.
through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
This past week, a lot of the scriptures were on the woman with the issue of blood. And you just said people bump into us. Well, she purposely, of
Luke
course.
Chapter 8.
She purposely, of course, went to Jesus
she
to
did.
Touch the hem of his robe,
intentionally.
Or the tassels, the fringe on his prayer shawl.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, I felt power go out from me.
Right. Yeah.
And I want to walk in such presence, such
Amen.
Of the presence
Woo!
Of God that, yeah, somebody bumps into me, they get healed.
That's right.
You know, I would.
Peter's shadow.
The claws. The,
yes.
And there was a. In the same devotional, I made that thought about, you know, Paul, they took handkerchiefs and
yeah.
napkins. You know what those were? I never thought about this. Those weren't holy anointed claws. Those were the claws, his sweatbands that
yes.
he was wearing when he
yes.
was making tents.
Yes.
But the anointing was such
so
on him. It didn't take a special prayer. They just took the cloth.
Woo!
That he sweat on and laid it on people and they got healed.
I cannot tell you how many times through the years pastoring that I've had handkerchiefs in my suit pockets as I was preaching or you know, something like that, and given them to somebody that God said, go give that to so-and-so, and later hear that they quit having their nightmares or
right.
whatever the case may be. Because it's the anointing. It's the presence of Almighty God when you are so full of God and you're preaching. Like those two were doing a few minutes ago, dear Deborah and George McKay. And I guess they're brother and sister, and I didn't know that. And that's so cool. And here they were just going at it and having church in there today. And so full of God that don't tell me that. That if they had a handkerchief on them, it wouldn't have had the power of God right there.
I would have been in there to grab it.
Imparted. Yeah. So, I mean, what we're saying is, people, we need all that God has for us.
Right.
We're not okay to just barely get by in life. We're not okay to just barely exist and, oh, yeah, I know about Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I asked him into my heart a long time ago. Yeah. No, there's more. There's more is what we're saying. There's more.
Amen. And in these days, because y'all know if... listening audience, you've been listening to me, you know I think I'm a firmly believer in the last days.
Right.
We've got to have that power.
We got to have it.
Because that anointing has got to be on
Shoot,
us.
Yes. Yes.
It'll become harder and harder to survive. And the scripture says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And then people will see that light and be drawn to it.
Ooh, yeah.
That's the light of the anointing, God's presence in our lives.
That's Isaiah 60, and it's so true. When God is shining through you, it comes out in your voice, it comes out in your expressions, it comes out in your hugs that you give people, but it especially comes out when you're under the anointing, you are praying for someone. Like you and I were doing this morning, Pastor Jim, and we've been doing on Sunday mornings before our service. And we have just let the Holy Spirit direct us. Well, we've done this for many years, but lately we've just done it more intensely, it seems like. As we're praying for individuals by name and situations going on in their lives and believing God for the breakthrough, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Oh, this is good.
It's very good.
So what are we testifying about today? We're testifying about what God is doing. These are the days of Elijah. Listen to this song. We did this last Sunday at Beacon of Hope. Haven't done it for a while, but boy, it's good. We got to do it again today. Great song. It's what God's doing right now. These are the days of Elijah. Next verse says days of Ezekiel. So listen to the words. So true.
Come.
he is. Woo! Wow. Yes, that song has a whole lot of declaration in it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Testifying. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Ezekiel. Dry bones coming to life. It's time. Pastor Jim, it's time for some Christians around this globe to realize there is more than just hearing a sermon on getting saved week after week after week. There is more to this walk with God than that.
There's so much more, and there's so much more he wants us to do. I mean, if you look at people in the Bible, and, you know, God just didn't say, okay, here you go, you're saved, now just sit.
Right. Even the disciples, we talked about it in the beginning here. He did not say, I'm not going to send you guys out to talk about me or testify about me. I'm just going to let you stay right here in home base and be comfortable.
Right. He said, wait.
Wait.
Receive.
Right.
Witness.
Right. Ooh, you know? Yeah, that's good.
They had to wait for the promise of the Father, which was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They had to receive it. And then he said, you're going to be my witnesses. They were called to witness. And it wasn't just, I just love it, you know, in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and guess what? The ends of the earth.
The ends of the earth. And that is in Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, when he says that to the ends of the earth. And he says, you're going to be able, in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1, you're going to be able. And that word there is dunamis. You're going to get the dunamis, which we talked about last week. It's a dynamo effect. It's self-reproducing, okay? The more you praise God, the more full of God you become, okay? The more you read the word, the more full of God you become, okay? The more you pray in the spirit, in your prayer language, the more you absolutely glorify God, the stronger you become, right? It's self-reproducing like a dynamo. It just keeps happening. The more, you know, it just keeps replenishing itself.
Which is the good thing.
Mm.
You know, and, you know, the baptism may be a one-time event, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But as we'll find out, I mean, to be filled with the Spirit is an ongoing thing. We'll find out later about Peter, who did get bold and got hauled in front of the chief priests of the temple. And there he had to testify. He preached about Jesus.
He did.
And I know the New American Standard has a little footnote. Most translations say Peter being filled with the Spirit, or Peter filled with the Spirit. It's actually Peter having just at that moment been filled with the Spirit.
Right.
Because, you know, we get these several fillings.
Right.
And what is it, Ephesians?
It's, I'm looking at it right now.
5:18.
I'm looking at it right this minute. I was already, the Holy Spirit said that's where we needed to go. 5:18. And it's right here. Oh, okay. Yeah, 5:18. I'm on the wrong page. That's why I didn't find it here quickly. But that's exactly what I was looking for. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an ongoing process.
Ooh, ooh.
Go. Go ahead.
Okay.
We get so excited. We just love doing shows.
It's a present tense command.
Yeah.
So it's being filled.
ING.
All the time with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and I've got New King James Version, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. It could just as easily read, be filled with the Holy Spirit as you speak to one another in psalms and hymns.
Right.
Which is a great thing because, you know, you mentioned it before. We sing, we praise.
Stronger we get.
The stronger we get, filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Praise brings that fullness.
Right. What happens to your car engine if you just leave your car in the garage for months on end I've had, being in real estate, I've had people who call me and say, I want to sell my house, and my car's been sitting there in the garage 6 or 8 months. I'm not sure if it'll run when I come down, or, you know, the key is here, try it, or whatever. I've had all that. And if you're sitting there and your engine is just sitting there, what happens to your battery?
It's going to go down.
It's going to go down. It's going to go way down, maybe dead. So, and it's the same thing spiritually for us, Pastor Jim. That's interesting to me that in this series, God has given us ing words, present participle words. Remember, first week was thirsting. Then it was 2 weeks on waiting. And we had to wait 2 weeks to get through that. And then last week was experiencing, and now it's testifying. And all these end in ing. Why? Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing process.
It's an ongoing process, always.
Always. And when we say, oh, well, yeah, I got saved. Yeah, okay, yeah, if I die tonight, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, fire insurance. But what happens with your daily walk? Don't you want to be growing, ing? Don't you want to be getting stronger, you know? Don't you
strengthening.
Strengthening. There you go. Strengthening. Don't you want to be absolutely on fire, you know, fired up? You know, why are people content, PJ, to just have that initial salvation experience and that's all? And they're threatened by and they're scared by anything else that goes deeper. Not everybody, some people.
Right, but any number of reasons. I think part of it is the level of commitment. The deeper we go with God, the more committed, obviously, we have to be. And that can be a scary thing because we assume, wrongly in most cases, that God's going to ask us to go preach the gospel in some mud hut in Africa. And we know we got enough people here in the United States unsaved. You know, your mission field could be your next door neighbor, for that matter.
Right. We should be talking.
Yeah. I think people are afraid because it is a deeper commitment.
Right.
Well, if I do this stuff, there's fear. People are going to think I'm nuts. You know, case in point, my family, or my father in particular, his only experience with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues was a coworker whose mother went to a very, very, very Pentecostal church. And, you know, they would leap the pews and all that stuff. So that's what he assumed I wasn't. You know, God may call me to leap a few pews one of these days.
A pew for you to leap.
Yeah, well, yeah. If we had a pew for me to leap, that's true.
We just have chairs.
You know, but I'm willing.
Right.
But that's not normative.
No, no.
But it does call. I mean, there have been times when I've danced in the Spirit.
Sure.
People would look kind of funny about that, but.
No, that's not that uncommon.
Well, I know. But, I mean, people might think, oh, I can't do that. You know, they're afraid of giving up control of their lives. I think those are just some of the reasons why people want to stay in that safe zone.
That safe zone where they don't have to have anybody going, oh, my gosh, what's going on with her? Or, you know, so, okay, so salvation is a one-time event, but it's also an ongoing process where we become more like Jesus. That's the goal. And the word salvation is, isn't it, Yasha? It means being wide open.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we become more in love with God, as we begin to read more, I'm going to throw a few ing words out that are just now coming to me. We need to be reading. We need to be praying. We need to be seeking. We need to be talking. We need to be meditating. We need to be using the word. All of these things are present participle, which means it's an ongoing process. These are not talked saved. These are being saved. We are being saved on a daily basis, right? God is working in our lives daily, almost minute by minute sometimes if you're in tune. I woke up in the middle of the night and I was praying for some situations in my life, and one of them was one of my children, and I felt so impressed to pray for her at that moment. And so even though it was in the middle of the night, I didn't even know what time it was, I was praying. It's not that I had prayed for her once in her life. I was praying. It's an ongoing experience. Now, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We talked about it last week, Acts chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 14, because what happens is in Acts 2:14, there is something that has happened. This has gone all over Jerusalem, and the disciples and the 120 people that were waiting, ing, in the upper room for the promised Holy Spirit. They waited 10 days, and on the morning of Pentecost, it was very early in the morning because Peter stands up to preach and it's 9 a.m. So it happened quite early in the morning when they were praying, not having just prayed once. They were praying and waiting, and then Peter stands up and begins to be preaching. And this morning I had you mention that Peter's character was not to be this amazing preacher, was it? That was not his natural
character. No, that was not Peter's natural character. He, before the day of Pentecost, he was a blustering, wavering, kind of a blowhard at times. He also was a coward at times. He vacillated. He went back and forth from one extreme to the other. The main, you know, he was open to revelation, where he said, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know what? The Father revealed this to you. So he was open. And yet when Jesus, within, you know, a few verses, very likely that evening or the next day, said, the Son of Man has to go to Jerusalem where he will be killed. And Peter says, oh, no.
No, you're not doing that.
You know, he hadn't gotten that revelation yet.
Right.
But, and then in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before Jesus' trial and crucifixion, Peter, in his boldness and rashness, he's kind of rash, cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant.
Uh-huh.
Jesus, of course, heals it.
Right.
I wonder what the high priest had to say about that. Anyway.
Uh-huh. Right.
And yet, within a few more verses, here's this apparently brave person hanging back.
Right.
You know, it says Peter followed them at a distance to the high priest's house. And then he denied Jesus three times.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, he kind of went back and forth a lot. And yet here he is on the day of Pentecost.
Whoa.
Taking the position as basically kind of leader of the apostles. And he gets up in front of all these people. And, you know, they, like you said, they thought they were all drunk. And he says, no, it's only 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
This is what's really going on.
That's right. And he begins to quote Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, which you can follow along in your Bible on that. But I taught that last week. So Joel 2, 28 to 32. And Peter gets up and he begins to preach and he begins to quote the word, the prophecies that were spoken 700 or 800 years before through the prophet Joel. And then on down in chapter 2, he's talking about prophecies from David. And he says, and remember this concept, people, that we've talked about so much. God tells you what he's going to do. Then he does it. Then he tells you he did it. Okay, you can write that down because that's how God works. He tells you what he's going to do. He does it. Then he tells you he did it. Go ahead.
And I love Peter's pattern for preaching. Ooh, there you go again.
Pattern for preaching.
Peter's pattern for preaching.
Pee.
He takes the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, he does just that. He says, this is what happened.
This is what happened.
It was all foretold.
Right.
You know, and especially since he's speaking to, you know, his fellow Jews.
Right.
They knew these scriptures. And he says, look, here's how Jesus fulfilled these.
Right.
One after the other. He just keeps talking about it.
And because of that, that was the proof they needed that these guys weren't crazy.
Exactly. Going back to your description of testifying. These were the proofs.
These were the proofs.
They were attesting
to
what the scripture said and to the truth that Jesus is the Messiah.
And going back to that concept in the Word of God, people, write it down if you've never heard this before, or maybe you know this, but God tells you what he's going to do. Then he does it. And then he tells you and reminds you, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I was going to do it. And look, I did it. Okay. And so Peter gets up and in bold, in the Message Bible, it says with bold energy or urgency, bold urgency. He gets up because he's got so much. He's overflowing now with the Spirit of God. He's been filled up. He's been baptized in the Holy Spirit. He is full to overflowing, much like Pastor Jim and I feel today. And Peter stands up and he says, I got to tell you this. God already told us this was going to happen. Back in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32. Y'all grew up reading that. This is that. I love that book by Amy Semple McPherson. She was a Foursquare gospel woman preacher back in the 1920s. And I used to go to a Foursquare. In fact, the church I was baptized in the Holy Spirit was Foursquare Gospel Church in Newcastle, Indiana. And one of the founders of that church was, if not the founder, Amy Semple McPherson was her name. Okay. And she wrote a book, and I have it, and it's like 600 pages. And the title of it is This Is That. Okay. And it comes right here from this scripture that Peter stands up and says, this is that. This is that that the prophet Joel was talking about. This is it. You've wondered what that was all about. Well, this is it. We just got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Woo. He's on a kick here, Peter.
He's on a kick. And then he goes on to talk about, and I love verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. It seems to me I remember a series about
that. Yeah, signs and wonders.
Which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. I mean, these things didn't, as Paul later said to, I believe it was Herod Agrippa, this didn't happen in a corner.
No.
Y'all know
right
this happened.
Right out here for everybody to see.
It happened on the roadside. It happened in the towns. It happened in the temple. And Peter's reminding them, look, this happened, and you all know these things happened. And you allowed him to be crucified.
Right.
But God raised him up. And then's when he quotes David.
Right.
He backs up that assertion, saying this is a fulfillment of what David prophesied
right.
in Psalm 16.
Woo! That leads us to Chris Tomlin and Danny Gokey, Impossible Things. Doesn't it? Because that's what you almost could hear Peter going, this seemed impossible, but it happened, guys. It really happened. Listen to this song, one of my favorites.
You healed a broken hearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now, you are lifting me. There is no healer like the Lord our Maker. There is no equal to the King of Kings. Oh, our God is with us. We will fear no evil. Cause you do impossible things. Yes, you do impossible things. Though I walk through the valley, darkness surrounding me, there you prepare a table, in the presence of my enemies. Yeah, there is no healer like the Lord.
Impossible. Amen.
I wonder what we'll be singing next Sunday morning.
I was just getting ready to say, Pastor Jim, put that one on your list.
I did.
That's for next Sunday morning.
That's what I was writing down. I thought, I got to write
and
this
yes
down.
And yes and amen, too. You know, the promises. Oh, my. Speaking of next Sunday, we are going to have a party right here at the station. And it is a very important day to Beacon of Hope Ministries. And there are many people, including you, Sweet William, who just texted me that you are listening, that we would love to see right down here at the studio with us for a little while. Our show always begins at 3 and it lasts till 5 next Sunday. Believe it or not, drum roll. And I don't know how to do it in here in the control room, or I would do it.
No,
there's the bell. You got the bell?
It's
no?
It's all the way across
clear.
The table.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. That's okay. All right. Pastor Jim's ringing the bell. Next Sunday morning is our... Ready for it? Wait for it. 600th Living the Good Life show. 600th show next Sunday afternoon. And we are bringing some of our Beacon people here. And we're going to have a big cake that says 600 on it. And anybody out there that would like to come and meet some of us, feel free. We will carry on and have an amazing show with most of our radio team joining us. At intervals, Pastor Jim and I will be on the whole time, but the others will be sharing intervals with us that day. And it will be a glorious day as it coincides, crazy enough, with the first week of Beacon of Hope being a church. And so we are celebrating our 17th anniversary next Sunday also. And our first service was actually September 29th of 2001, but we're just going to celebrate the whole thing at once because it all coincides, as does our Thursday night show, Go Yard, that Dr. Angel and I do. This Thursday night, our Go Yard show will be Facebook Live, and it will be our fourth anniversary show. And so you want to catch that at 6:06 p.m. on this station. And next Sunday afternoon is going to be Facebook Live for 2 hours. Pete is going to be doing that whole Facebook Live, putting it on next Sunday afternoon. So you're welcome to come down here at right around 3, quarter to 3, and join us next Sunday afternoon for a few minutes or stay for the whole thing. It doesn't matter. And celebrate with us 600 shows. Pastor Jim, I'm in awe of what God has done from our first Sunday in April, the middle of April of 2007, that first show, Connie and Nathan and I, to where we are now, 599 shows later. Woo!
It is amazing. I mean, and what I think, because I know it started out much, what, was a half hour?
Started out an hour.
An hour.
And then that only lasted about 5 weeks, and we realized we have to talk more than that. So we went to an hour and a half.
And I came in during that time, and then they talked to us about going 2 hours, and it's like, I remember some people were saying, well, we can't possibly.
We can't talk that long.
We can't want to bat.
You and I were like, yeah, we can, and we will.
Yeah, and we will, and we've never had
we've never gone back.
There's never been dead air in here.
No, we don't have dead air. We have a live air.
Yeah.
Woo, we are so excited. You sound a little weird. No, we're very excited about all that God is doing. We are smaller than we were at one point in our history, but we are actually bigger if you include everybody that's not here anymore that lives in other parts of the world, but still call themselves Beaconites. I love to get those little emails from people to go, always a Beaconite, don't you? As they send in prayer requests, etc. It's kind of cool. So anyway, we'd love to have you join us next Sunday, the 23rd of September, right here, beginning at 3 o'clock. Come eat a piece of cake, and we'll have some sodas. And that's what they call them down here in Florida, Pastor Jim, from you and I up in Indiana. They're Cokes. Everything's a Coke. It can be an orange knee-high, but it's a Coke.
It's Coke.
Yep. So, but we're going to have some Cokes or sodas, whichever you prefer. And some amazing cake here next Sunday afternoon to celebrate 600 shows. And God gets all the glory. You want to speak to that? I mean, honestly, I sit in awe, Pastor Jim. I've been, I just in awe of what God has done all these years.
Well, yeah, and
we're in our 12th year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's totally crazy
that. You know, a lot of times we don't know who's listening unless, like William, you happen to text in.
Right.
Which is great. Hey, William. And, you know, we don't know a lot of what's going on. But I know people's lives have been changed.
Oh, absolutely.
We may not know we probably won't know the full totals until mm-hmm. we get to heaven.
Right.
But we do this because we love God. I mean, I do it because I love God, and I love being on the
Absolutely.
Radio. I love talking about Jesus. I love telling about what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. And it is amazing. And I just praise God for the opportunity that he's given us to do this in the first place. I mean, it's a privilege.
It is.
It's an honor. To serve God this way.
It is. And from my very first radio show in Indiana, when we first opened my Christian bookstore in a new location, and a guy walked in and he goes, "We're starting a Christian radio station called Faith 99 in Muncie, Indiana. Would you come do a show?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "How'd you know I wanted to?" Because I didn't. I just thought that I should come here and talk to you. And that started it, 30 minutes on Muncie, and then and 30 minutes later in Anderson on the radio station. So two of them, 9 o'clock, 9:30, they were 30 minute shows. And I went in on Thursday prior to each week. And on the big reel to reel, I engineered myself. They taught me how to do it. Now on the big reel to reel things, I recorded shows and then drove them to Muncie and to Anderson.
Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So we've come a long way now because digitally we can record this, which we do. Every show is recorded. That's why it's up here in podcast form after. And what amazing how everything God's done it. And so, yes, we're in our 12th year on the air and 600 shows, and God gets all the glory and praise. And we got to do a station ID, and then we're coming right back, Pastor Jim and I. And we are so looking forward to next Sunday. Would you agree with that?
Amen.